Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When you think of a concert pianist, the image may involve someone isolated in a practice room for hours upon end. Jade Simmons is nothing like that stereotype. She stood on the runway as Miss Illinois and first runner-up to Miss America. She's been a spokeswoman for causes like youth suicide prevention and mental health awareness. On the concert stage, she's competed in the prestigious Van Cliburn Piano Competition, and later this month, she'll be the first ever host of the Van Cliburn Piano Competition's online broadcast. Her new album highlights music from four different American composers, including a set of hip-hop etudes. Jade Simmons will perform for us in a moment. First, we welcome her here to our studio. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we've been talking a lot today about the economy and how it's affecting music and people's ability to access music, mm-hmm. to go out and see it and stuff.
Sure.
You know, as a musician of color yourself, are you particularly concerned with how, you know, minority communities, African American, Hispanic communities, how this impacts their access to music?
Well, you know, I think access in the terms of underserved communities or minority populations has been a question no matter what the economy. So part of my mission as an artist, usually whenever I'm in a city for a performance, I'll spend a good bit of time during the day in the schools. For the Van Cliburn Foundation, I've worked for their Musical Awakenings programs, which takes us to 20 different schools in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, many of those minority populations. And for me, it's rewarding to come into a school, you know, with a largely black population of kids and to have them see me sit down at the piano, which is always a shock for them.
Because they expect somebody who looks like Van Cliburn, white guy.
That's right, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot to be concerned about, but I think usually the concern fades away for me when I sit down at the piano and I perform, you know, Mozart or Chopin or Tanya Leon, and these kids react to it. They respond and they prove us wrong over and over about, you know, only being able to receive pop culture because they love the music the same way that I do.
So the music that you're playing these days, especially on this new record, tends to be very rhythmic. This seems to be your current crusade, you know, what has happened to rhythm in the classical music world?
Well, you know, I've always been fascinated by rhythm. Even in college, I moonlighted in a group that I founded called Boom Shaka. You know, so at night I'd be playing. I did exactly what you talked about in your intro. I mean, I did the 6 to 8 hours a day of Bach, you know, and Chopin. And then at night I'd be banging on found objects and trash can lids, you know, emulating much of what you see here in New York with the group Stomp. And this group, Boom Shaka, was kind of my outlet. So when I went to grad school, I wanted to find a way that I could kind of meld the two, my love of rhythm, my love for piano. And this debut CD, Revolutionary Rhythm, is the product of that.
All right. Now, it's not quite like you're taking, you know, drywall compound buckets and sticking them inside the piano, but you are finding ways of combining, or the composers on the record have found ways of combining rhythm and the sounds of the piano. Do you see the piano as a percussion instrument?
No, not at all. I mean, I see the piano as its own beast, its own wonderful beast at that. And I think with this CD, what I was trying to do is exploit the more rhythmic side of the piano itself as an instrument, but the more rhythmic side of the piano repertoire. You know, with the advent of the 20th century, we saw, you know, the repertoire shift where the focus became the rhythm. And the melody was still, of course, important, as we see in the pieces like the Barber and the Culiano. But there was this wonderful emphasis on the pulse behind the music, which is something that I'm excited to display to audiences.
Well, and composers from Béla Bartók in the mid-20th century to Steve Reich today.
And Prokofiev.
Would actually say, yes, the piano is definitely a percussion instrument.
Sure.
Since the sound comes from the action of hammers hitting those strings. Tell me a little bit about the Samuel Barber Sonata, especially this fourth movement you're going mm-hmm. to play for us. This is a fugue, right?
This is a fugue. You know, Barber was criticized during his day for kind of being old-fashioned. You know, the composers of his time thought that he'd spent too much time looking backwards. I mean, here we are playing a sonata, you know, in a piece that has four movements, very traditional. But what a lot of people don't know is that it originally was intended to just be three movements. and he ended it with this very somber adagio mesto, you know, very slowly and with great sorrow. And he was very proud of the work. And it was Horowitz, who was set to give the premiere, who refused to play it as it was. He demanded a more
up-tempo,
spirited finale, and he asked for a flashier work. I always joke and say that I think Barber was a little bit miffed at the request. So what he came up with is probably one of the most fiendishly difficult pieces ever written for piano, in the form of a fugue. Again, looking backwards to, you know, to the master of Bach, and then superimposing on top of that jazzy rhythms and amazing harmonies and atonalities, and you know, it's just an amazing work.
So this is Barber saying, "All right, Mr. Horowitz,
yeah,
you want something flashy for the end of your show? Here's
here
something."
It is.
All right, and you're going to play it for us.
I am.
All right. My guest is Jade Simmons. She is performing at the BAM Cafe, a free event, on Friday night, tomorrow night at 9:30. Her CD is called The Rhythm Project, Revolutionary Rhythm, and it includes the full Samuel Barber Sonata, which you can hear tonight on WNYC's Evening Music. But here is Jade Simmons to play the finale live at our piano.
Thank you.
right then. Jade Simmons, live at Our Piano, and the composer Samuel Barber's musical comeback to a request from Vladimir Horowitz for a kind of fiery virtuoso showpiece to end his concert with. That's what Barber wrote, the fourth movement of his piano sonata. Jade has recorded the whole piece on her album, The Rhythm Project, Revolutionary Rhythm. You can hear the whole thing tonight on Evening Music. And if you want to see what Jade just did, we'll have a video of that performance up on our website within the next 24 hours. And Jade Simmons, my guest on Soundcheck today. I mentioned that you were first runner-up in the Miss America pageant back in 2000. Mm-hmm. We think of the talent portion of those things
as a joke,
with quotations, right?
Of course.
You played a Chopin etude.
I did. You know, I think the advantage, I like to be fair to the young woman that I was competing against. You know, the difference between how the Miss America pageant used to be, you know, in the 80s, it was a big talent showcase. You had women from Oberlin, from Eastman, from Indiana University who would compete and do very well in the competition. As times went on, they shortened the talent competition, and young women like myself who, you know, were conservatory trained didn't see it as a serious platform anymore for talent. But I did it because of that word, the platform issue. I got involved for the opportunity to speak on youth suicide prevention. So for me, it meant a lot more than getting up to play the piano. But in picking the Chopin, I think what a wonderful moment for me was in the middle of that piece when I got to the coda, the hardest part, you know, of this etude. This was Chopin Opus 10, number 4. Any pianist out there knows how horrendous that piece is. I remember the audience exploding in laughter at the height of the piece. I mean, they were applauding. They exploded, you know, with this great applause. And it was wonderful because I realized once again that classical music, just like, you know, pop music, hip hop, whatever you want to call it, has the same power to move an audience to immediate action. I mean, it was a very visceral response. They loved it. For me, it was great because no one could hear me play this really difficult part. So if I was having issues, no one heard it anyway. But, you know, it was a memorable moment. And I think today I try to take that with me on stage and remember how powerful this music is. And it has this ability.
Did that experience sort of, you know, get you accustomed to performing in front of a large audience? I mean, was it useful to you in your subsequent career as a classical musician?
You know, it was useful in the sense that the size of the audience after that, I mean, we played in Convention Hall in Atlantic City, which was the size of a football field. And I had, you know, live cameramen circling the piano. I mean, it felt like they were sharks at the time, you know. So I'm not really ever frightened by the size of the audience. But I think any artist who will be honest with you will tell you that what gets to you is the thought of who's listening. You know, you could have an audience of, say, 10 people, but if you imagine that 9 of them are the local news critic, that will change your perception of how you're playing. So I was just having a conversation off the air with a friend of mine, and we were talking about a person we just saw perform this weekend, Svet Stoyanov, which is a percussionist.
The marimba player.
Yes, yeah. And I watched him perform on Sunday, and he seemed to be in this zone that I say is a rare place to be able to access. And when you can get in there, it matters not at all to you who's in the room. And that's what every artist tries to get to.
It's the same zone that ball players talk about when they say they're in the zone. Right. So did the experience of going through the whole Miss America pageant and everything, did that turn out to be a double-edged thing? I mean, did you have trouble getting taken seriously when you started making your name as a pianist?
Well, of course. I mean, for instance, today you led with that on the show. You're not the only person. Every article that's ever written, every interview that I do, people lead with that. And you know, I've come to accept it as a really wonderful thing because it does give people who may not know they were interested a point of reference. Now, of course, the double-edged sword part of that is the fact that I sometimes will feel like I'm having to live down whatever the stereotype associated with that is. But I hope
that's in the classical music world, which, as you know, is a tiny little portion.
Exactly.
I mean, the greater, wider population of America hears, wow, she was this, and
you're
now
right.
She's that, and thinks, oh, that's really interesting. And I mean, I would think that actually is really useful.
It's really useful, especially in commercial terms when we talk about marketing and filling seats, because I have people who will very openly admit, I came because I heard you were first runner-up at Miss America and I wanted to see if you could actually play the piano. But, you know, for me, you know, I am in this small world that you're talking about. And I think as well as an African-American artist, you know, maybe there are some added pressures of feeling like you have to prove yourself. Again, hopefully when you get in the zone, those concerns drop by the wayside.
One of the pieces you recorded is by the young African-American, actually Haitian-American mm-hmm. composer Daniel Bernard Romain, who's been
That's
here
right.
a number of times, lives in New York. His hip-hop etudes. Did you listen to a lot of hip-hop growing up?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, I had the most wonderful childhood. I mean, I was able to kind of balance a lot of different worlds. I was a jock. I mean, I played three different sports in high school, volleyball, basketball. I ran track. I was a band geek. You know, I did youth symphony.
But did you do a cappella?
I didn't do a cappella. I didn't go that far.
Then you weren't quite the geek you made yourself
right,
out to
you're
be.
You're right, you're right. But I loved hip hop. I mean, I listened to Queen Latifah at the time, some old Run DMC. So when I had the chance to play this music, I asked DBR if I could put my own electronic hip hop beats to them. And that's what you're hearing.
This is my guest, Jade Simmons, from her album, The Rhythm Project, Revolutionary Rhythm, and some of DBR, or Daniel Bernard Romain's, hip-hop etudes. Music from Daniel Bernard Romain, the hip-hop etude in D-sharp minor, Jade Simmons playing the piano and providing the beats. Will this be something that, do you play these live? Will this be on tomorrow night?
I do these live. Tomorrow night at BAM, I'll do them with, you know, a CD accompaniment.
Right.
And you'll hear a lot of the tracks done by the person who did the beats on the CD, Jonathan Sanford. But live, I usually have a person doing the hip-hop beats live with me on stage, which is tons of fun, of course.
The concert is tomorrow at the BAM Cafe. It's free at 9:30, and the CD is called The Rhythm Project, Revolutionary Rhythm, from Jade Simmons. Jade, a real pleasure having you with us on the show today. Thanks very much for being here.
It's oh so quiet.
Everybody longs for peace and quiet sometimes. But in New York, forget about it. Cities are getting louder, and this impacts us all, from the roar of the subway to the tunes on our iPods. Tune in tomorrow as we look at the impact of iPods on our ears and the latest research on hearing loss. That's Sound Off, a Friday series on the many aspects of noise in music and our lives. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Also on the program tomorrow, we'll have live music from Federico Aubelé, the Argentine singer-songwriter whose latest passion is the bolero. In the background, a little bit more from Jade Simmons and some of those hip-hop etudes. Once again, a video of her live performance here in our studio today will be up on our website later today or tomorrow at the latest. And you can hear more from her on Evening Music Tonight. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was George Wellington. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau, and we had help today from Kylie Boyd. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us tomorrow for our next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC.